Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Bite Electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Add color to your home's exterior with LED outdoor string lights. They're perfect for holidays or get-togethers, and they can be scheduled to automatically turn on or off. View our entire selection of Bite Electric smart home products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week. This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Trial of Karen Reed, it continues on. Some delays over the last week, so not a lot of testimony that has come in, but there certainly has been some interesting testimony as the defense is taking their turn with their witnesses that have begun to come to the stand. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. A lot of what we saw in this last week, Brian Higgins, ATF agent, friends in that circle with the Elberts and John and everybody. And also in possession of a cell phone that seemed to be a big question on the stand this last week. What's been your reaction thus far to that testimony and what we've seen since we've last talked?
Well, I think a very embarrassed man, which I think is understandable. It was kind of painful to look at that barrage of texts back and forth with Karen.
Yeah.
You know, and the cell phone, it raises questions. You can look at it from different angles, different directions. He was a law enforcement officer and had concerns about his privacy and safety, and who knows what all may have been on the phone. But, yeah, I thought he was an effective witness.
When they were going through the string of text messages, and I didn't even take clips of it because it's just monotonous and it's the same almost fifth grade level texting. I mean, it reminded me of notes, you know, like pass the note back and forth in fifth grade. Like, that's the level of juiciness that, do you like me? I think I like you. What should we do now? I don't know. Should we go to the back of the playground and make out? I mean, that's really kind of what it was like. I've been saying, and not that I have it, but it's like these people have no game at all. Like, it was really like, how do we interact as a boy and a girl?
Drunk. They were drunk at the time. They were testing.
Still, I would think they would make it even easier to interact. That was one of the most strange romanticized text exchanges that I've seen between two adults. What did you make of just the maturity of that and just how, I don't know, it didn't seem like two grownups that were talking.
No, it had a really, I thought it had a teenage feel to it and awkward. And I can't say I got a lot out of it other than it seemed very immature, just as you say.
Yeah, it certainly was not like the torrid love affair that I thought we were going to see. If we're going to go down that road of arguing of like, oh, see, she really wanted to kill him because look at the passion here. Like, there really wasn't any of that. Yeah. The other thing they were going after Mr. Higgins for was, his phone. And there is a lot of questions there. It is kind of odd that he, Brian Elbert, others in this story, you know, they all got rid of their firm phones at certain points where they knew better. He's an ATF agent. Other people are officers. They know this is an important piece to the case itself. And it wasn't like it was that morning and everyone was still kind of confused to thinking it was even a murder. This is down the road where they're questioning these sort of things. People are being charged and they're beginning an investigation. What is your thoughts on that? Where he didn't seem to really have any sort of sense to keep the device around and just kind of nonchalantly got rid of it.
Yeah, looking back with hindsight, it looks like poor judgment, and it just raises questions, you know, what else might have been on that phone. Hard to say. And then I did hear that there were reasons that you know, made sense to him at the time that he did it. So
that seems to be a lot of what we're getting in this, is it made sense at the time. And I'm still in the middle of the road on most of this. I don't think there was a conspiracy to murder John O'Keefe. I don't think he got beat up in the house. I don't think Karen Reed wanted to kill him or tried to kill him.
Right.
But again, just a lot of bad. Is this like a cornucopia of just people who really make bad decisions? Yes. and maybe are feeling guilty about something else or covering something else. And all that is what we're seeing here, all coming to an end and looking like this could be a murder cover up, or maybe it's a cover up for a weird affair. Maybe there's other things going on these text strings that have nothing to do with the case, that would not make its way to the case, that is also kind of on the hush hush.
Yeah. Things people just don't want to come out, things that people may be embarrassed about that don't have anything to do with the case. People use their phones for lots of strange things. And it does contribute just to the sense of, you know, the circus aspect to all of this, is that a lot of people drinking too much, neither side, I don't think what they're trying to say, the prosecution or the defense. I don't swallow either side. Mm-hmm. If I had to give my best guess, it would be a lot of intoxicated people. Karen was in a blackout, very likely did hit him, had no intention to hurt him, and was so incredibly upset the next day when it occurred to her that very well may have been what happened.
How do you think, the Karen Reed camp, I mean, any camp, I mean, there's kind of middle of the road. There's some of us here where it's like, let's see where the evidence takes us. There's the Karen's innocent no matter what comes our way. When we start to learn more and more about the facts here, and there's going to be more information, especially about the Cellbrite data and the search of how long to die in snow, which if occurred prior to them looking for the body would be rather questionable. But if we do find out what we believe we're going to find out here, because I've seen other cases where they look at the Cellbrite data and there's been questions about the timestamps, and it's the very similar thing. It's the browser was already open. You're looking at the browser timestamp. You're not looking at the actual search timestamp, which I'm guessing we're going to find out. If we don't, I'll be wrong. But if we do find that out and it is factually looked at as, look, this search did happen while they were finding the body, that explains why that happened. How do you think that Karen Reed camp is going to react just simply to a piece of factual data that really can't be argued, but I'm sure they probably will?
Yeah. It would be lovely if facts did convince people of anything, but I don't think it will make a bit of difference once people have this emotional investment in their version of reality. Mm-hmm. However strange the narrative may be, facts don't seem to cause any movement. They just double down. And in fact, they become more and more convinced that they're right. And then they'll turn it into some sort of conspiracy theory about the fact, why that can't be true.
How do we fix these people? Siobhan, we have to do it. We can't keep living like this.
That's why I became a therapist, right? I thought I could fix the world. I thought that there would be a formula for everybody. And the older I get and the longer I do it, I just throw up my hands and go, I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like that's what comes down to in so many of these cases. It's like, how do we fix this type of thinking? And I don't know that there's really an answer. Anyway, there's still more testimony to come here when the trial resumes this week. Of course, we'll be discussing it as there's a lot to come as the defense begins to put up. They're at the very beginning of putting up their case. Higgins was one of the very first people. So judging by that, I'm really curious to hear what else we're going to see in this case. And of course, we'll discuss that next week.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.